I'm watching
I'll tell you after.
For the one I love to soon come back to me. I cover the waterfront in search of my love, and I'm covered by the starlit sky above. Here am I, patiently waiting, hoping and longing, oh, how I yearn. Where are you forgetting, do you remember? I cover the waterfront. I'm watching the sea for the one I love must soon come back to me.
Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order and welcome everyone to the first Public Engagement Commission meeting. Let's begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, if you'll please call the roll call.
Commissioner Bliss?
Present.
Commissioner Kiriakou?
Here.
Commissioner Massey?
Here.
Commissioner Paz?
Here.
Commissioner Schneider?
Present.
Commissioner Ibarra?
Here.
Commissioner Uribe?
Present.
Our next item on the agenda is public forum, and public forum is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on any item that's not on the agenda. We will ask speakers to fill out a speaker request form, which is given to the clerk so that we can keep that record on file. We ask that commissioners, you may have questions or have a follow-up on a public comment, but this is not the time for the commission to take any action on any item that's not on the agenda. You may have follow-up questions, or you may direct staff to bring this item, agendize it, and bring it to at a later meeting. We have no speaker slips. We have no speaker slips at this time, so we'll move on to the next item on the agenda.
The next item on the agenda is the mayor's welcome and opening remarks.
Okay, is this on? Yes, it is. Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you. I'm here to thank you and welcome each and every one of you to the Public Engagement Commission. This is an important task, and I look at it much like the general plan. The general plan was created with extensive resident input. The general plan has far-ranging effects on the very fabric and character of Goleta. So you too, PEC, which we will fondly call you, PEC, Public Engagement Commission, your work will have far-ranging effects on Goleta's future. You will be exploring many topics. Should council members receive more than $7,000 a year? Should Goleta become a charter city? Should council meetings be held in the evening after 5 p.m.? Should the mayor's term be for 4 years, not 2 years? How can Goleta increase the number of residents that participate in our local government? And soon, with the drawing of the election boundaries, you'll be part of that process as well. I'd like to encourage you to think out of the box to encourage public engagement. What can we do better to get more people to attend meetings? And I'm not just saying council meetings and planning commission meetings, but design review board meetings and all our subcommittees meetings. We have quite a few. How can we encourage and request our residents to seek out emails and alerts about what's happening in the city, get more informed, read staff reports, and really understand what staff reports, become knowledgeable, apply for committees and boards and commissions, and attract a larger diversity of people, not just racial, but economic and age-related, so that we have a broad range of diversity coming and talking about all the aspects of their life in Goleta. If successful, which I believe you will be successful, increased resident participation in Goleta can become what I like to call a living civic lesson, so that residents understand how their tax dollars work. Where do their tax dollars go? How does that work? How development gets done? How does that work? What processes we follow and how can we change or influence them? We had 29 residents, I believe 29, I hope I'm correct, filled out applications for this position. And what that tells me is that there is an interest in this topic. But it also shows that you have a pool of a very, very talented, interested people who you can possibly tap into. So reach out to those that may have not been selected, but encourage them to stay engaged in the community. So I'll end with just saying that I'm personally committed to supporting your efforts and following your progress and keeping up with your what's going on and touching base with staff and with you all from time to time to see how you're doing. But I also want you to know that I'd like you to feel free to contact me if you ever have questions or requests for resources. So again, thank you for your service. Thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is a selection of the chair and the vice chair. So, on May 16, 2017, the City Council adopted a resolution organizing the Public Engagement Commission. That resolution provides that the chair and the vice chair shall be selected annually from among its members. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask for nominations for a chair. If there are no other nominations, if there's any other nominations, let me know as well. But once there's no other nominations, I'm going to ask for a vote. Once we finish with the nomination for the chair, we'll go on to the vice chair. After we do that, then we'll ask the chair and the vice chair to join the center seats, and we'll help them out with that, okay? So with that, do I hear any nominations for a chair? Mr. Kiriakou? I hear no other nominations. Can we take a vote?
I want to nominate Pedro Paz as well.
Okay, so let me go ahead and do a roll call vote here. Okay, Commissioner Bliss, and then you'll answer an A or no.
A.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have Commissioner Paz as chair. We're going to go ahead and do the same thing for vice chair. Do I hear a nomination for vice chair?
I nominate Sherry Bliss for vice chair.
I'm sorry, I did not hear that. Who's second? Okay, if we can go down and Commissioner Bliss?
I assume I abstain.
You don't have to.
I'll abstain, I guess.
Commissioner Carriaco?
Aye.
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 Okay, so we have Commissioner Paz as chair, Commissioner Bliss as vice chair, and if we could take the center seats, I'll help you out really quick.
Thank you.
Is this the center seat?
Cheryl's over here.
Okay, with that taken care of, we're going to go on to our next item, and that is item B1, selection of meeting dates for 2017-18.
In your agenda packet, you were given a staff report titled Selection of Meeting Dates for 2017-18. In reviewing the resolution that was adopted by the City Council on May 16th, within the resolution, it is a requirement to establish dates for 6 regular meetings per year. Tonight, staff is seeking the direction from the Commission on the following proposed dates. These proposed dates are proposed for every 2 months, for a meeting every 2 months. However, as you look at at the list of dates, couple of items I want to bring to your attention. We just found out that there's a conflict in a couple of dates, so I'd like to propose revisions to that. The first meeting on the list, which would be our next meeting, is listed for Wednesday, December 13th. Unfortunately, the Parks and Recreation Commission's already taken that date, so they just met, I think, last week and requested that change. So that date is not available. Staff is recommending that we reschedule that to Thursday, December 14th. We tried the 12th, but there's a design review board meeting on Tuesday the 12th already, so unfortunately that's not going to work. So the first available date would be the 14th. And then on Wednesday, December 12th, then we have that same conflict, and we are suggesting that we change that to Thursday, December 13th, 2018, so the first and the last meetings. And that's due to the holiday, so the Parks and Recreation Commission have already established those dates. I'm requesting that this commission review these dates and get your approval with the recommended revisions.
Any comments? Sir Carriaco.
I'm personally fine with the two date suggestions that were brought forward by staff. Is that better?
I believe your microphone's not on.
Oh, I guess I got to hit two buttons. Yeah. I'm personally fine with the two dates that were suggested by staff. I would like to make an additional recommendation, though, that if we're interested in maximizing public participation, Valentine's Day might not be the best choice for our subsequent meeting after the first one that we changed. So I would suggest that we look at Thursday, February 15th for the possibility that might work.
Any other comments? I would echo Mr. Carriaco's suggestion for February, because I think a lot of us are going to be conflicted at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Any other changes or suggestions?
We'll be happy to confirm that there isn't another conflict on that date, but if you vote for those changes, we'll move forward under that assumption and let you know.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the recommendations from staff on the changes of the meeting dates.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Mr. Ibarra, second by Mr. Kiriakou. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is item C1, that's community outreach presentation.
Well, good evening, and thank you for attending your first Public Engagement Commission meeting. It was very interesting to hear from all of you when you were doing your interviews, and this is a really great opportunity for us to talk about what we do for community engagement in the city of Goleta right now and provide a baseline for you as we move forward and what our other opportunities for engagement are. So you have a hard copy at the dais. It's also uploaded now on our website so others can view this later, but we'll walk through, and if you have a question on each slide, just I won't see your button, so raise your hand and I'll be happy to answer them as we go along. So we have a strategic plan, which is our guiding document in the city, and the council last updated that earlier this year. And two of the goals in the strategic plan that relate to public engagement are to foster community events and foster citizen participation. So with those in mind, we develop our community outreach plan. But we wanted you to know a little bit more about our residents. We have approximately 30,944 residents. 33.9% identify as Hispanic or Latino. 11,034 households, and we have approximately 50,000 people who come into Goleta every single day to work. So we have an interesting population that we're trying to educate and engage, because not only do people live here, but people work here, and that's a significant outreach as well. Say we had an emergency during the daytime and wanted to reach the employees, it's not just people who live here. A few other facts, 36% of our population speaks a language other than English at home, and 26% of those identify Spanish as their primary language at home. A piece of information that I don't have is what percentage of people only speak Spanish and don't understand English, which I think would be a helpful piece of information. But we're looking at a census in 2020, so this information will be updated and be interesting to see what we get there. Yes?
Is this from the 2010
census? This is from all of those numbers are from the 2010 census, yes. So here's a visual overview of all of the outreach tools that we have. And they are in two different colors to indicate things that are considered new media or traditional media. So the green are things that are newer tools, which you would maybe call social media or new media. The blue are the more traditional things like public workshops, phone notifications, press releases, direct mail, things that we would have had 10, 20, 30 years ago. And they're sized in relative impact order. So you'll see our website has the greatest impact on information that we provide people, and we can tell that by the statistics we see there. Gov Delivery, which is our email and text notification system, is also a major source of outreach and communication. Whereas Pinterest and LinkedIn, those are smaller circles because they have a smaller audience, and we also devote less resources to engaging people in those forums. And I'll talk a little bit more specifically about each of these things as we go through the presentation, but I wanted to give you a visual overview. So as I mentioned, Gov Delivery is our email and text notification system, and this allows people to subscribe to topics of interest. Excuse me. And we started this system in 2014 because we wanted to be able to better understand what our citizens and our community was reading and interested in. Prior to that, we had notifications through our website, so you'd sign up and you'd get an agenda, but it wouldn't have any more information. It would be very government noticey, And we have really tried over the past 3 years to make our communications more friendly in those emails. We have 9,510 subscribers. We had a 4.5% increase between December 31st, 2016 and June of 2017. But in 2015 versus 2016, we had a 150% increase. We really did a major push to try to get people to subscribe. And as we have new topics and new areas of interest, we get more subscribers. For example, I think it was in 2016 that there was rumors of Target coming to Goleta. And I was monitoring this on social media, and so I said, I'm going to create a Target list. And I think we had 500 subscribers within 2 days through social media. So one of the wonderful things about that program is that we can be very flexible and nimble in setting up new lists as quickly as possible. We can also set up lists so that you can text to subscribe to it. So we could, in theory, put it on a sign on a project, one of those yellow project signs that stand in front of potential projects, and say, text the address of the property to 468-311, and you could subscribe to notices. So there's a lot of flexibility there. We probably haven't used it to the fullest potential at this point. But we had 204,000 impressions last year, sent 241 bulletins, and had a 64.3% engagement rate. And so if you work in the world of public relations, you know that anything above a 20 or 25% engagement rate is huge. And so every year when we do our annual review with our service, GovDelivery, they always reiterate the point that we have a very high engagement rate, and it's impressive. But we're always striving to make that higher.
Does that just mean that they, like, clicked on it or opened it?
Well, we have different ways. We can tell if they've clicked on certain links, okay, if they've opened it, if they've shared it. There are a whole bunch of back-end metrics that we can find out, and that's one of the reasons we really like this system.
Okay.
The other thing that's great about it is it's only available to government providers. So it's whitelisted, which means spam filters don't catch it. When email marketing kind of took off 10 years ago, you could get blocked even if you were sending a legitimate email because of the volume you were sending. But this way, it's a service, and they work very hard to make sure that all of our emails get through.
And is this number to subscribe just for information about what's happening around the city, or is it also for emergencies?
Well, it's also for emergencies, and let me get to that. Okay. We have 47 topics right now that you can subscribe to, and they fall under the categories of events, news, public safety, old town, planning and environmental review, public works, and recreation. But you'll see back under news, we have, actually, I was thinking it was under news, but we do... Oh, under public safety, we do have emergency notifications. We have a second system, which we use, that I'll talk about a little bit later, for emergency notifications as well. And then we also have a Goleta and Espanol list, which we send information on emergencies to as well. Yes. So the next tool I'm going to talk about is called Nextdoor. And Nextdoor is an online social network for neighborhoods, similar to Facebook. In order to be a part of the neighborhood, you have to be verified, and there are a number of ways you become verified. So not just anyone can join the neighborhood. We were one of the first 5 cities in California to launch Nextdoor, and we did that in 2012 with our Love Your Neighbor, Know Your Neighbor campaign. At that time, I had a very interesting role. I was a member of every single neighborhood, and so I could respond to questions in those neighborhoods. And we started out with 16 neighborhoods, and those were wrapped around where our neighborhood watch programs were. This is what our map looks like now. There are 27 neighborhoods, and that came about because some of the neighborhoods were too big, and the residents asked to split them into smaller chunks. Some of these are outside of the city, but They have interest in receiving information from the city, and so there's a benefit for them to show up on our map, even though they're not within the city. And some neighborhoods are more active than others, and I'll talk about that in just a second. We have, so like I said, 27 neighborhoods. These are the names. I didn't choose all of them, so some of them may not describe the area as well as they could be. Our most active neighborhoods are Fairview, Kellogg, the Lake Los Carneros East neighborhood, and Evergreen. And the highest percentages of households participating are in Lake Los Carneros, Winchester Commons, La Galita West, and University Village. And my assessment of why they have the highest number participating is they are the smallest neighborhoods. And so when you have a defined community, for example, Winchester Commons is an association, so people in the neighborhood are encouraging other people to join. And Lake Los Carneros was my neighborhood for many years, so I went around the neighborhood and harassed people to start. Mr. Kiriakou.
Does the city have any demographic information available for a portal like Nextdoor so that we can have a sense for just who exactly is participating and what those communities look like or don't look like?
That's a really interesting question. Nextdoor was started not for government agencies. It was really developed for neighbors to be talking to neighbors. And so they really hold agencies at arm's length. We were the only city that got the privilege of me being in every neighborhood. And it was a pilot that we were testing to see how that could work. So they are not tracking that demographic information that I'm aware of. And I would be surprised if they would share it with us. But that said, I can certainly look into it. In 2016-17, in the fiscal year, we posted 47 times. But as a comparison, the neighborhoods are very active, and there's a lot of content posted regularly. There were over 1,100 pieces of content posted in a 30-day period in August and September, which wasn't a period where we had an emergency. So when we have an emergency, that number goes up significantly. Like I said, our role has changed, and so I don't see the content that's posted in the neighborhood and don't have a sense for what kind of conversations are happening unless someone posts on what the city posts into a neighborhood. So I do miss kind of knowing how we can improve our public outreach because I don't know what's happening in the neighborhood, but it's better to let neighbors talk to neighbors, and hopefully people within those neighborhoods will communicate with us about, hey, you might want to jump into this conversation. And maybe that's a role that all of you can serve if you're on Nextdoor.
So yes. This implies that we couldn't join a neighborhood we're not in.
Correct.
Okay. We'll see if we can at least join seven, mm-hmm. if we're not already joined to something. Yeah, I'm just curious because it would be another kind of way to know who is active in various small units and who was very engaged and who wasn't. But all right, we can start with the seven.
So I'm sure many of you are familiar with Facebook. We launched on Facebook at City of Goleta in 2010. Did you have a question, Ms. Messing?
No. I just said no, I've never even been on Facebook.
We have increased our activity on Facebook because we found that it's a pretty effective tool in having people share information. And we did get involved in 2010, which for a government agency is a long time. We were at the forefront, I believe, in doing that. In 2016, we had 401 posts, which was an average of 33 a month. We now have an average of 52 a month, and I would attribute that to the fact that I now have a part-time assistant who can help develop that social media content. But it's a very useful tool and a great way to get information out to people in the community, but it's also a great tool during emergencies. We post a lot of information there very frequently. And so that those of you that are on Facebook, I would encourage you to follow us. We have currently have 3,592 followers, and we started out with 187 in 2012. Our largest increase was in 2013 when we did the For the Love of Goleta events. I don't know if any of you have participated in those, but we had a speaker come in and talk about placemaking and why people love their cities and how they get engaged.
I was just going to say that sounds like some really good content for Facebook Live, and I'm wondering if that's a function that we're looking at or are currently using, and perhaps I just wasn't aware.
So just so you all know, and Chair Paz knows as well, I am only supposed to respond after the chair has acknowledged your comments, and so I'm not ignoring what you're saying, but just so you know a little bit how this functions.
Sorry, I took your nod as to proceed.
So we have not yet explored Facebook Live, but it was interesting. We were having a conversation about emergency press conferences, and we've used Periscope in the past. And Periscope's kind of lost some of its glitz and glam because now you can do Facebook Live. So it's something that we'll definitely look at exploring. What can we do? Perhaps we'll even test it out next Thursday night at our volunteer recognition event when the mayor acknowledges our volunteers. She's not listening to me, so I won't make her nervous. So these are some screenshots of some of our more popular Facebook posts. The first one is a CERT graduation and a drill we posted about. The second one is about some pothole repair after an emergency. And the third one is a video that one of our followers shot of what Old Town Goleta looked like during the storms, and we shared it to encourage people to not go that way. Mm-hmm. Our most popular video that we've ever shown and shared was a video I shot at the bird release of right after the oil spill, the first birds that were released off of Goleta Beach. Mm-hmm. Shot a video of it and shared, and we got over 25,000 likes on it. And I can't remember the number of shares, but it was very popular. And video is very popular way to share content. So we definitely want to be looking at how we can do that more. We do purchase Facebook advertising, and that is we've seen a very good return on our investment because you can target it. It's content people will see. It's friends, people that like our page and their friends, or we can target people that like cycling, or we can target people that like civic involvement. And so I buy very little advertising each year. I have a very small budget, but I do buy Facebook advertising, which then feeds into Instagram. And that's been a wonderful thing. So just some information on who follows us on Facebook. 58% of our followers are women, and 41% are men. You can see the breakdown of the age groups. The highest percentage of women followers is 35 to 44, and the highest percentage of men is 25 to 34. But interestingly enough, women ages 45 to 54 are the highest engaged demographic group and nearly the lowest for men, only 2%. So the most percentage engagement for men is from those in the age group of 25 to 34. So given that our engagement most often happens with women, they're three times more likely to engage with us. Our target audience is women between 35 and 54 on Facebook, since those two age brackets have the most followers and most engagement combined. Other interesting facts, our followers identify their language as English over Spanish, 3,366 versus 123. But that's not surprising since the majority of our content is in English, and the app that is most often used by Spanish speakers is WhatsApp, which is another tool that we don't currently operate on. So it's just some little nuggets for you to think about. We also have a Facebook page that we manage called Goleta Dam Dinner. And if you're not familiar with the Dam Dinner, it's something that we started in 2015. It's a very casual dinner out at the Lake Los Carneros Dam. The group of us, it's the City of Goleta, the Stowe House, the Chamber of Commerce, and a couple of community volunteers. We put this event together every year just to bring community together And it's free, and people can bring their dinner or buy dinner from a food truck. So we have this Goleta Dam dinner, and the kids love to say it because you get to say dam officially in an approved context. So we don't seek to grow this page because really it's for people that go to the event and are excited about the event, and we post pictures, and but that I wanted to mention. We also are active on Twitter. At Goleta PIO is our handle. We launched in 2009 and have 2,137 followers. In one calendar year, we did 659 tweets, which resulted in 136,000 impressions and 1,725 engagements. Impressions are the times that the user is served a tweet up in their timeline so that they see it. And engagement is anytime they interact with it. They click, they retweet, reply, follow, like, link, hashtag, embed, mention our username, all those sorts of things. The most common, the most popular tweets happen to be around emergency information and holidays. Ironically, people like it when we post Happy President's Day, and that is often results in a like or a share, which was a surprising fact for me anyway. We do have an Instagram account at City of Goleta. We launched it in 2016. Have done 72 posts in a year and have 159 followers. But just recently when I did this most recent round of advertising for the city project open house and volunteer event, we've gotten so much bang for our buck with the Facebook advertising on Instagram with people that aren't following us. So it's been I'd rather have more people engaging that way than getting more followers because it's so effective. So I'll be looking at how we can continue to use that cross-platform approach. We have a Pinterest page. We launched it in 2015, and it was mostly to promote interest in our Monarch Butterfly program and put up some information. Also, I'd been to a conference where they said, you need to grab your Pinterest name before someone else takes it. So it's as much of a placeholder as it is, it's a cool thing, but I'm not sure what kind of public engagement we get locally from having more Pinterest involvement. But we do have videos up there of one of our Elwood Mesa butterfly docents, and I think almost all the pins up there are about monarch butterflies or places to visit in Goleta. We have a LinkedIn page, and again, that's another one of those items where it's secure the name so no one else can take it, but we don't invest a lot of time or energy in it because, again, we're not sure, except for as a tool to recruit new employees, what the return on the investment is for community engagement. We have a YouTube channel, City of Goleta 1, and we launched that in 2008. We have 69 videos up there, and some of them are our annual State of the City events. We also did a series of informational interviews on the Refugio oil response. San Jose Creek project, we did some behind-the-scenes videos in our creek channel as the project was being built, and then our Monarch Butterfly Docent tours. At the State of the City this year, we launched a video called Goleta is My Town, which was a really cute, fun, this is what our town looks like. One of our commissioners, Mr. Rebe, was one of our people in that video, and we've had over 1,000 views since May. So changing tools, Blackboard Connect is a tool that we've had for at least 10 years. I don't know the exact date, but it is our tool that we use to do reverse phone notifications. Since we originally started using it, it's expanded to also do email and text notifications. So we have 10,331 recipients and 10,250 people who identify English as the language in which they'd like to receive those notices, and 81 people that want to receive them in Spanish. We use this system very sparingly because when we call, we want people to listen, and we don't want to call so frequently that they don't. So this year we did a message about the Halloween parking restrictions to the neighborhoods that will be impacted by those. We sent a very lengthy message out this summer about the fire and emergency preparedness. We also do reminders on 4th of July to keep your pets inside so that they aren't impacted by the fireworks. And they tend to be emergency, more emergency types of communications. Anything that we send in on the phone, we will already have sent via email through our gov delivery system. So there's overlap, and we layer our communication so these various systems are sharing the same types of information. But we don't use every system for all pieces of information all the time, except for emergency information, which is we use every single platform we can. So we have our City of Goleta website. We did a revamp of it in 2015 and tried to make it more visually interesting and worked with people to make it more easier to navigate. And so we're constantly updating and changing that. And I am very happy to hear suggestions because our brains are all wired differently. And so we want to create as many paths to information as possible. So I would encourage you, if you have any suggestions on something you would like to see changed or you think might be easier for functioning, let me know. We literally update the page every single day. So we have about 28,500 monthly page views on average, 5,283 monthly visitors, and people visit an average of 2.84 pages per session. This was a great increase over our 2016 views, and I don't actually, I do have the views from 2016. We were averaging 25,000 monthly page views, 4,800 monthly visitors, and people were still visiting approximately 2.8 pages per session. And I don't have anything specific to attribute that increase to, except that I think that as we continually add topics to the email and text notification list, people are visiting our website to get more information on their topics of interest. We also run the GoletaButterflyGrove.com website, and this is a screenshot of the homepage. We started that a few years ago when we were trying to help educate visitors to Goleta on where they should park and access the Butterfly Grove from. We had heard a lot of information from the neighbors that they were tired of buses and people coming and parking in the neighborhood streets instead of using the public parking lot. So we did a big push to educate people through Yelp and TripAdvisor and some of the travel sites and travel writers that they could get information through the Goleta Butterfly Grove.
Mr. Carioca.
I was wondering if we could go back one slide to the website slide. One more slide, I'm sorry.
Sure.
So it's great to see the effort that's been undertaken to make the website more visually appealing, to show rather than just tell. I do have a question about the visits, though. And my question is, if I were a monolingual Spanish speaker, what types of information would I be able to garner from the website if I come to your website?
Thank you for that question. The only way that you really can access information on the website is to use the Google Translate button up in the top right-hand side. And I'm not sure how accurate that is in translating pages, and I don't know how it translates graphic images, of which there are a lot.
Ms. Uribe.
So I can tell you that Google Translate doesn't work well. A lot of mistakes and things that you cannot put into context.
Thank you. So we'll move on to the Monarch Press. The Monarch Press is our newsletter, and you may recall if you've lived in the city for a while, we used to do a full-color 8-page newsletter, which we mailed out to every household quarterly, and it cost about $40,000 a year to produce that document. And we had no idea if people were getting it in the mail and dumping it in their recycling right away. There was no metric or tracking system that we could use. We would do surveys or try to get people to give us a comment, and we'd do a giveaway, and we'd get 25 people to respond. And so trying to be diligent and respectful of our resources, we switched over to the Gov Delivery, which is the email and text notification system. But we didn't want to lose out on the people that really didn't either have a computer or wanted to access something in print. So we created a Monarch Press, which then goes through our Gov Delivery system, and it's an online newsletter that we do 11 times a year. And we also send a print version of it to about 250 people that have requested to receive the information in print. And we have 2,288 email subscribers to this. And this is where we can really see what people are interested in because they click on the links. And it will be interesting sometimes to say, I can't believe 90 people clicked on that article because it doesn't seem like it would be maybe that interesting or that was the most read article for the month. But we continue to use that and find that a really successful way to communicate information about projects and happenings. We also communicate information, say, from MTD and other services in the area that would help our community. Our other outreach tools, we have Channel 19, which is Government Access TV. We do slides up there that are for public information about our events, agendas, and meeting notices. Emergency alerts, workshops, things like the parking restrictions in Isla Vista. The interesting thing about Channel 19 is we don't have any data that we can access about who actually sees those slides or watches the city council meetings or this meeting will be on TV. And only 50% of people in the South Coast approximately subscribe to Cox TV. So they are the only ones that can watch that channel. So it's something that we have access to, but it's not something that we invest a huge number of resources in. We also do a lot of community workshops every year, and we do some of them here. We do some of them at school sites, some at the community center, and then we also send press releases. I wanted to highlight a little bit of the Spanish language outreach because I know that's been a question from some people, and as I mentioned earlier, we only have 81 people that prefer to receive their notifications in Spanish, and when we're sending to those lists, like when I check the box to send to a certain area, I look to see if there are Spanish speakers in that area, and we record the message in Spanish as well. We have 158 subscribers to our email and text notification list, and that's something that we want to work on increasing. And then we're always looking at new ways to engage our community, and I'm sure this is a topic that we will be discussing as our commission moves forward. But I wanted to pull those out to you just as some base information. So what's next? One of the things that I had put on my list to do before we even had the vision of a public engagement commission was how do we engage our Spanish-speaking community in a more robust way. And so I put that effort on pause a little bit so I could get your feedback, and we'll be looking forward to talking about that. We're always looking at what other tools are available. I looked up yesterday that there are over 25 general social media tools, and some of them are things like WhatsApp and tools that we already use, but Snapchat, Quora, WeChat, Viber, Tumblr, Reddit. And we're always evaluating, is this a good return on our investment of time? As I mentioned earlier, I do have a part-time assistant, but it's she and I that do all of the communications for the city in addition to a number of other things. And so we have to be very careful about our resources and really want to invest in what will make a difference. And we'll be looking for your feedback on that. And it's just a really exciting time in public engagement. What can we do differently? And like the mayor mentioned in her comments, how can we think out of the box and how do we engage people in a different way? So with that, I'll answer any other questions.
Sunima?
I forgot.
Yes?
I have a comment to make. I noticed that on the previous issue of the meetings, at the bottom it mentioned about staff is recommending that we begin at 5:30. I think that's a problem. I think we should meet at least 6 because there are a lot of people who don't even get off work until 5:30. And so we're really keeping a number of working people from coming to meetings. I know it's the same problem with city council. If they were to meet at 5:30, I think it would cut into theirs. And so I would recommend that we try to do everything not any late, any earlier than 6 o'clock, but it's just my comment. Thank you.
Any other comments? Mr. Donner.
Yeah, I do have a question. Is there a logistical reason if we were to change it to a later time, would it be more difficult for city staff to participate?
I don't think so. We would be happy to accommodate that request. If it means that it will engage more of our community, I don't believe that would be a problem for staff.
Any other thoughts?
Madam Clerk, do we need to ask for an amendment to the previous motion to adjust the time for item B1?
No, that'll be fine. So we're looking for dates.
Okay, so we'll just make a note that the time will be at 6 o'clock if you all concur. I'm seeing head nods.
Well, let me ask.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Ibarra.
Chair Paz. Yes, is there any reason why we should discuss also and explore whether a little later than 6 o'clock, or what is the consensus here? Does anybody have any thoughts on that? 6:37, I don't know. What?
That's Bliss.
Because half an hour, and I appreciate what Commissioner Massey says, but what later times can we have it?
Ms. Bliss, Ms. Uribe, Mr. Carioca, you have a comment too?
Well, sure. We'll start with
Ms. Bliss, to Ms. Uribe, and then come back to you.
Mine is more of a question, and I don't know if anyone would have an answer for it, but have other commissions or other like community types of organizations tried other meeting times that have been later or at different times where we might be able to learn from those experiences?
We haven't had those requests from the other commissions. Most of our meetings, I can't think of one that starts any later than 6 o'clock. Our council meetings begin at 6 o'clock. Our other commission meetings begin at 6 o'clock. So if we moved it to 6 o'clock, it'd be consistent with the other meetings.
Ms. Uribe?
I don't know if it is possible to set the 6 o'clock for now. And when we start talking to the community, we will learn more because we can make assumptions here that which time is good or which not. I'm thinking, for instance, I get to my house, and that's the time that I'm starting dinner. So, you know, maybe for the community will be better a little later, or maybe before they start dinner, I don't know. So we can tentatively say 6, and then may we change if need be.
Mr. Carioca, and then Ms. Schneider.
I think that if we start too much later than 6, we start to run into diminishing returns as people start to say, I'm hungry, I haven't had a chance to go home, have my dinner. And we might actually start seeing diminishing returns. But that said, I do like what Commissioner Uribe was saying about listening to the community. And I think they'll tell us ultimately. But I think 6 o'clock for now is a good place to start.
I agree about 6 o'clock for now. One of my experiences is with school board, or at least high school board meetings. Many of them started at 6. Of course, they always had some food. There was always food because there were always teenagers as well as parents. So that's a whole other matter, and we can maybe discuss that at some other point. But for now, I concur about the 6, and I think we need to do a little investigation to just figure out what might be of most interest to the people who are going to be involved.
And I just want to comment that I think that since City Council is at 6 o'clock and the other commissions are also starting at 6 o'clock, we already have some information to work off of in terms of having a sense of whether this time works or not. And I think that we could start from that. And if we find that the time is not working for this particular commission, then we can obviously come back to the matter at that point in time. Mr. Ibarra.
Then would we need a motion to the amendment to change it to 6 o'clock?
No motion's necessary. We have the dates, and then we'll go ahead and schedule the future meetings for 6 until further notified.
Thank you.
Perfect. Any other comments? Yes, Ms. Uribe.
So thank you, Valerie, for that information that you just gave us. I think it's very interesting, very complete. It's giving us a full view of the things that are working already and the things that we might have an opportunity to expand. Certainly, I didn't know all that information, so I thank you.
Any other comments? Ms. Bliss?
Well, I have a lot of questions about the presentation, but I think it's more about me just learning more specific details about some of it. So is there a way that we can find out more information instead of going through all the questions now, or is now the time that I should go through all my questions?
You're welcome to go through your questions now, or we can schedule a time that you and I can talk one-on-one, and I'm happy to answer your questions then as well.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any other questions, comments? Yeah. Yes.
One thing that occurred to me, I had several people contact me when they saw the agenda and looked at things, and it's something that happens with city council items also. When you have something that's just a PowerPoint, there's a blank page, and I know when I pull up an agenda and the staff report and all, and I get to a blank page, it makes me mad, actually, because I think the least should say PowerPoint to be presented, or so-and-so will be there to speak on the issue. I had people say, gee, that's the kind of community engagement you want is nothing. I thought I was surprised by it, but I did get that. So I thought it was something that I should mention this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for that comment. We can certainly look at adding that type of language to the agenda. It does make sense to say that a PowerPoint will be coming.
It at least gives them some concept. I know when I look at it, I think, are they going to give me a PowerPoint? Is there going to be a speaker? What's happening? You know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? No other comments?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then we are adjourned.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Me too. I think so also.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I understood that we would try to identify something as our next agenda item, something for the next meeting. And it strikes me we could try to do that.
Is that on the agenda for us to do at this point in time?
We don't have any further reports on the remaining items. If you would like to discuss the future agenda item under item E, I suppose we could do that.
Yes.
And then we'll just have that discussion and go along with that.
Suggestions then. Mr. Kirioko. Yeah,
so I think what we've learned so far tonight is that the city is already doing a lot to engage with the public, and as Commissioner Uribe said, I think we've also learned that there's still opportunities to expand. And I think when we look at some of the different duties and responsibilities that have been outlined for us, there was a whole bullet list, and the mayor touched on some of these. Whether should we become a charter city, you know, mayor 2-year, 4-year term, et cetera. The one that really sticks out to me as being critical to our scope is E, how to increase resident participation in government. And I was thinking about that a lot during the presentation that we just had. And engagement is a two-way street. It's not just outreach. It's also being prepared to accept outreach and to accept comment and to accept inquiry. And I think that in many ways the city is doing a good job of that. One thing I wanted to point out as an example is the Monarch Press. I think the Monarch Press is an example of government at its best. You're putting something out, it's giving people a broad overview, an opportunity to learn quickly what's happening in the city, and then also provides them opportunities, calls to action if they want to get more involved, if they want to do something. And I especially like, given the origins of this commission and the reasons that we're truly here, the fact that it's in Spanish, that there are portions of it that are provided in Spanish. But where I see an opportunity to increase resident participation is that, whereas at one point that was something that was pushed out, and our issue was you know, efficiency and economy. Now we're expecting people, for the most part, it seems, to pull that information, to actively seek it out. And I think this is borne out in the part of the presentation where it talks about the number of actual Spanish speakers that have proactively engaged with us. And I think that we need to find a happy medium where we're pushing more out, getting out more to truly engage with our community and learn more about, you know, what they care about, you know, personal asks, relationship building, and really focusing on what matters to them. And I think it's really going to take an effort on our part to get out there and to start pushing more and then being more receptive if we're going to be successful. You know, Commissioner Uribe rightly pointed out the mixed record with Google Translate. And I find myself asking questions like, you know, does the city do secret shopper calls? And what I mean by that is, does the city have contract with someone or have someone who can call every department and only speak in Spanish? And what happens? If I call the city and I'm a Spanish speaker, do I get transferred around until they have someone? Do they know who the person is who speaks Spanish? Are they able to receive services? So I think engagement is a two-way street, and we're gonna have to really take a strong look at not only what kind of outreach we're doing, but how prepared we are as a city to receive inquiry and to be able to respond. So that would be my comment.
Any other comments? Ms. Uribe.
I totally agree with Mr. Kiriakou. I think that a lot of training ourselves to be that receptive and training the city employees will be a really important thing. Now, that takes me to the next question that I had, is some of these things cost money. So is there any budget for us to work on that? On that and on other things like the outreach efforts. If we're gonna go out, some things are gonna cost, so.
So to try to answer some of your questions, if I could first go back to some of the topics that we have in the next couple agendas. One of them is to review the communications policy, which we're in the process of finalizing for you. And then your comments will be passed on to the City Council when we bring it to them. We're also looking at having you give us input on which of those six or seven tasks we should tackle first. Some of them are going to take a huge amount of staff work, and we will need to be engaging outside consultants to help us come up with information. Others, like giving input on how to outreach to our community, is something that your individual feedback and your work will help us determine. So we are hoping for you to give us input on that. We were also looking at, there was one other thing that was on my mental list and just slipped, I apologize. There will be topics definitely about what does Spanish language engagement look like, because at this point the council's policy doesn't have a policy on engaging Spanish speakers, and there isn't a direct funding source for Spanish language engagement. I have a little bit of budget in my budget for additional translation, but it's definitely an area for improvement. So what we could do at some future point is to bring an item that says this is what other cities do, cities our size and cities with a similar population. This is how they allocate budget, and where are we lacking and where is there opportunity? But that might not be one of the first priorities, given that these specific topics and tasks are within the charter of the commission.
I just want to make a comment before I go to Mr. Kiriakou. My comment is to do with, if we have a sense from staff of what the topics are going to be sort of moving forward for the next number of meetings that we have, it might be helpful for the commissioners to know that ahead of time, so we don't necessarily ask a question that you're going to get answered through a future agenda item. That would be helpful. Second thing is to, I know we are going to be tasked with sort of somewhat prioritizing which of those broader topics we want to tackle, but maybe looking at those broader topics is And if there are subtopics below those, might be helpful as a sorting mechanism as well. So we're not necessarily inundating you with a bunch of questions that you're already going to answer for us. Mr. Kariyapa and then Ms. Schneider.
So I think Valerie really hit the nail on the head earlier when she talked about having a meeting where we come together and really set some priorities for which of the duties and responsibilities that we've been charged with should be short-term, medium-term, and long-term goals. I think that just absolutely hits the nail on the head. And given that the city does have a good track record of doing workshops, I think that would be an excellent idea for us to host a workshop. It can be one of our regular meetings, could be done in a workshop format, perhaps someplace like the Goleta Valley Community Center or someplace else, where we could really engage with the community. The other thing I wanted to bring up that I've been thinking about a lot, and I've talked to staff about this already, is the notion of Spanish translation. I know this was touched on briefly earlier, but one of the great things about this community is we have such a rich variety of well-meaning, well-intentioned, and very well-skilled and situated nonprofits. And I would encourage us to engage with the local nonprofit community. I've already engaged with a couple members of that community who have expressed a willingness to assist us with translation in terms of providing equipment, identifying translators who might be able to support us pro bono. And so I would think for perhaps at least one meeting for a workshop, we could try and have that translation arranged for. So perhaps that's something we could look at.
Ms. Schneider.
Yeah, and the reason I raised the question initially about agenda setting had to do with my sense that some of the items on which we were tasked have some time sensitivity in that some of them would have to go to a vote in 2018 and so on. So it would be very useful for us to have what amounts to a calendar that's not just short and long-term goals, but which ones we really need to get to if we want to make any difference or suggest any kind of going out to the public. So that I personally could use a conversation mm-hmm. about which ones are those, and I can't speak for the rest of the commission members, but I feel I could use a briefing about what charter city would look like, what are the implications mm-hmm. for some of the other matters in terms of the salary issue, in terms of the mayor's race. What do we need to do? Because they seem to be, if we want to engage the public more, and some of us think that part of the reason people are not as engaged as they might be or not running for office or so on is because the salary is incredibly low for the amount of time that the city council members put in. If we wanted to change that, we would want to do it sooner rather than later. But I think there's a phasing issue here that we really need to confront pretty soon.
Ms. Uribe.
Going back a little bit on language, I would like to just remind people that in Goleta, at least from what I can see, there's a huge population, also Asian population.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we are totally not even talking about them. Mm-hmm. So I would like to also all of us to think about it and figure out ways to maybe reach out to them, not only to the Spanish speakers, but to the Asian community. I have a couple of ideas, my nail people that I'm not using lately, but mm-hmm. but so maybe we can think about that too.
So just to be able to recap at least some of the comments from the fellow commissioners, my sense right now is for staff to come back with some sort of this ability to have a discussion at the next meeting on terms of prioritizing and then looking at some kind of calendar that we could work off of at that point in time. Mm-hmm.
Can I just
add? Yes, we will agendize then that for the next meeting. We'll look at the topics that are in the resolution that were directed by the City Council. So that'll give staff an opportunity to review some of these. Some of these topics may require the assistance of a consultant. So we would want to put that into that calendar. So mm-hmm. the next couple of months will give us an opportunity to work on that, and we will agendize that for our next meeting.
Ms. Bliss.
I think these were both said, but I just wanted to reiterate a couple of things that they said, which is also once we get the prioritization done, it'd be really helpful if with the agenda somewhere there was a way for us to see how to learn more before we come to the meeting, because I do feel like a lot of these topics, I know pretty much nothing about them. And then also when we do start to develop the agenda, and then in particular which items we're going to address, for me it would also be helpful if there was a way to quantify goals, like what exactly would success look like? So are we trying to increase the subscribers by a certain percentage, or is it like the people who come to live meetings by a certain percentage? Like, I kind of need to understand very specifically what we're trying to accomplish, and I don't know if that would have been done anyway, but I just wanted to make sure I said that.
Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, I'm asking for a motion to adjourn. Second?
Second.
Thank you.
Everybody second.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
Thank you. December, long before the springtime is due. And even though it's snowing, violets are growing. I know why, and so do you. Why do breezes sigh every evening, whispering your name as they do? Stars are on my ceiling. I know why, and so do you. It's raining, hiding every cloud from my view. And why do I see rainbows when you're in my arms? I know why, and so do you. Sigh every